Hello and welcome to the Sunday edition of the Big Red Bench. Thanks to Sinead for keeping us all company since 2 o'clock. It is Sarah McKenzie Foley here with you for the next hour. Of course, we will be talking about both the intermediate and senior Camogie All-Ireland finals. We'll also hear from Fiona Hayes about her Munster team's Interpro win against Ulster yesterday. And I'm going to be doing a recap of my favourite Irish moments from the Paris Olympics later on in the show. I would love to hear what your favourite moments were as well. So drop me a text or WhatsApp on 086 8104106 and tell me what they were. But in the meantime, let's get into it. We are, of course, starting with Gaelic Games, where it's a huge day at Croke Park for both the Cork Intermediate and Senior Camogie teams as they contest their respective All-Ireland finals. There was a very positive start for the Cork contingent, with the Rebels emerging victorious from that Intermediate final against Kilkenny. The final score in that game was Cork 1-11 to Kilkenny 1-10. At halftime, the senior decider between Cork and Galway, again, there's just 1 point in between the teams. It's currently Cork 9 points to Galway 10 points. The day's first final saw Tipperary beat Laois to become All-Ireland Premier Junior Champions. The final score in that game was Tipperary 12 points to Laois 1 goal and 8 points. And Jonathan Higgins has the full-time report.
It's full-time in the All-Ireland Premier Junior Camogie final, where Tipperary have defeated Laois by 12 points to 1-8 at Croke Park. Despite dominating the majority of the opening half, Laois's half-time advantage was cut back to 4 thanks to 3 late Tipperary scores. The Laois goal arrived in the 9th minute from Susan Delaney. Tipperary, aided by sharpshooting from Jenny Grace, who finished with a personal tally of 9 points, kept the momentum going in the second half. Laois had gone 22 minutes without scoring before Amy Collar steadied the ship. This led to a dramatic finish. Susie Delaney gave Laois the lead with a wonder score with a minute to go, but a late Jenny Grace pressure free gave Tipperary the title. Full time score, Tipperary 12 points, Laois 1-8.
Locally in the Co-op Superstores Premier Senior Hurling Championship divisions and colleges, there are 2 semi-final games taking place today. Musgrave have beaten UCC 318 to 215, booking their place in the final. They will face either Imokili or Avondhu, who clash in Fermoy at 7:15 in the other semi-final this evening. To football now, where Sheffield Wednesday have beaten Plymouth Argyle 3-0 in their championship tie. Elsewhere in the Scottish Premiership, Hibernian were in action against Celtic earlier today. That game finished 2-0 to Celtic, making it back-to-back wins for Brendan Rodgers' men. The Celtic manager told Sky Sports News he's happy with his team's efforts so far.
Played with a lot of control, a lot of quality. When the game sped up, we looked a real threat in the game and managed any sort of moments. Well, I think we had a couple of moments which came from us, maybe say giving the ball away and not looking after. But apart from that, I'm really, really pleased with the start.
It's full time in the remaining 2 Scottish Premiership games, with Aberdeen beating St Mirren 3-1, while St Johnstone were convincing 3-0 winners in their match against Kilmarnock. Here at home in the League of Ireland Premier Division, there were 2 games down for decision today. At full time between Galway United and St Pat's, there was nothing to choose between the 2 teams as they finished 1-1. Meanwhile, Shamrock Rovers will face Drogheda United. That's later on this evening at 7 p.m. We're going to start off with that All-Ireland Intermediate Camogie final between Cork and Kilkenny. A reminder of the full-time score, it was Cork 1-11 to Kilkenny 1-10. Let's get you some post-match reaction from that now. First up, here is Jonathan Higgins with the full-time report.
It's full-time in the All-Ireland Intermediate Camogie final at Croke Park, where Cork have defeated Kilkenny by 1-11 to 1-10. After an even first half, Cork led by the minimum at the interval, but Kilkenny equalised quickly via Danal Mercy. While Cork did respond with a fine goal from Cleona O'Callaghan, Kilkenny kept their momentum, led by their midfielder Mercy. She hit back with 2 frees and then a goal in the 46th minute, when her shot from almost the halfway line found its way into the net. A score that gave Kilkenny the lead for the first time. Led by their captain Lauren Homan, Cork fought back again, and substitute Fiona Nelligan secured victory with a fine injury time score from distance. Full-time score, Cork 1-11, Kilkenny 1-10.
Let's also hear now from the Cork camp themselves. First up, from the coaching staff, you'll hear from manager Donie Daly and also from coach Mark O'Sullivan. Prior warning, some of these clips are loud.
Johnny. Just look around. The smile says it all. What a victory.
Yeah, brilliant. Look, it was hard fought. We knew it wasn't going to be easy. 1 point victory over Kilkenny. It's unbelievable.
Such an even first half, and then it was level again straight at half time. I thought it was going to be one of those games.
So did I. I was actually thinking we were going to be back here next week or somewhere else next week. Two very evenly matched teams. You know, we had our matchups done well, so at Kilkenny. Obviously a puck of ball in it. Could have went either way.
Because you got the goal then, and it was Kilkenny that took over for the next 5-10 minutes.
Yeah, which is unusual, because normally we would normally get a goal in the first, in the third quarter. And today we didn't kick on, which maybe look with the atmosphere, with the, where we were, you know, a multitude of things. But, you know, we have always dug deep. And like our defence has always been immense. And, you know, when June likes to... Emma Flanagan, Aoife Barrett, Niamh O'Leary, Laura Doyle, Olivia and Mavering. Scores are always going to be hard to come by from the opposition. And, you know, once we kind of got on to parity, you know, I felt we could get the scores. And bringing on the likes of Fiona Nelligan, Katie Walsh, Lucy Allen, Eimear Dignan, it's a nightmare for any team. I think they were, at the end of the day, they were the girls that swung it for us.
And what a time to hit a purple badge right at the death in as well, get the winner.
Yeah, and like we did it before, we did it against Offaly in the early stages of the championship. We've been winning games by 2 points, digging out tight results, and look, it stood to us today.
Special scenes, a lot of red here in Croke Park.
Huge amount of red here. Like I say, half the stadium is Cork. And these are days that these kids need. And Cork being Cork, we need to be in Croke Park every year with both teams, hopefully.
Well, congrats and enjoy the celebration.
Thanks very much. Peace to that.
Marco Sullivan, congratulations, coach, congratulations. You left that late, but it doesn't matter now.
Nah, it doesn't matter. You know, at Ireland final, Kilkenny or Kilkenny, we know when coming up here, they were going to die for it, and you could see the hooks and blocks and the breaks. But look, we've been a second half team all year, and I don't call them subs, our game changers. We brought him on, and look, we got him over the line, and, you know, an unbelievable victory, unbelievable goals though.
There was nothing in it all the way through. They got a fortuitous goal, but she stuck to the plan, kept going even when things were going against you. That shows real heart and determination, but also belief.
Unbelievable belief there. They really, really, they trained so hard. And we said at the start of the year, there was going to be no excuses, win or lose. No excuses all the way up. Blaming no one, but you can see it today, till the final whistle, we won. But I think the ref left the game flow. Yeah. Great for Camogie, you know. And look at the crowd here today, like, it's Camogie's getting huge in Cork. And you must thank the grassroots as well, like, you know, what they're doing underage, getting all these girls from different clubs onto us, you know. But look, delighted for Cork. It's a great competition to the media championship, you know. Two great battles against Cork and Kilkenny. So, but we're delighted, absolutely delighted.
I'm hoping that the seniors can make it in 2-0.
Yeah, look, John Allen's after doing fierce work with the senior team, so I hope they drive on. An unbelievable half-back line there. They'll take beating as well now. The double would be great for Cork for Monday, like, coming home.
Excellent. Well done, man.
Thanks a million, John. Really appreciate it.
And how about the players? This is what Niamh O'Leary, Tara McCarthy and Lauren Homan had to say after their fantastic win.
Niamh O'Leary, fantastic scenes. All-Ireland Intermediate Champions. How does that sound?
Oh, it sounds very, very nice. God, coming up here, like, we knew it was going to be an almighty battle and exactly what it was. But we told me we were going to come away with a 1 point win. I would have took that very, very fast. I were absolutely buzzing. We're delighted.
It was looking like extra time there for a long time, but he stuck to the task.
It was. I mean, I think we were 2 points down to 5 minutes to go, but we're a very, very resilient group, you know. We never think we're gone. And I think you saw that today. Fiona Nelligan coming on, getting the winning score. It's unbelievable.
Talking about Donny Daly finally, what's he like as a manager? How much does he deserve this as much as yourselves?
Oh, he does. And not even just him, the other lads. They put in serious, serious work with us. You know, I think Fanta was coming back from night shifts, coming training with us, going to matches up the country. So they put in serious, serious work. So we'll enjoy it, but I'm sure they will as well.
Congratulations. Go enjoy.
Thank you very much.
Tara McCarthy, congratulations, you're an All-Ireland champion. You left it late, but you got the job done.
I know, thank God. We left everything out of the pitch in the end. It took a lot in the end, but thank God we got there.
It's been some day to some crowd, huge atmosphere, but the players stood up today when it counted.
Absolutely unbelievable. The support is back in today is absolutely incredible, and we couldn't have done it without them. And the girls.
does it mean for you? What does it mean for the panel in general just to win this All-Ireland?
It meant a lot. We said we'd get here in January. It was a goal. And we got here in the end. And it's an unbelievable accomplishment. It's one for the books.
Congratulations. Go and enjoy it.
Thanks a million. We'll have some celebrations.
Lauren, first things first, what a day for Cork.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, that was, we didn't make that easy by any means. The Cats really came back at us hard. And look, we got over the line, and that's all that matters at the end of the day.
The place is absolutely buzzing right now. I'm even struggling to hear myself hear you, but you fought so hard for that.
Yeah, look, I think when we got the goal, we probably came out of the game a small bit, but we dug deep in the final minutes, and that's all that matters. We were here with the cup, and we're absolutely delighted.
You're enjoying these emotion scenes here as well?
Definitely, but look, it's all about the senior girls now. We're going to go in, regroup, and get ready to support them.
Well, we better let it go. The senior girls are coming out. Enjoy the celebrations.
Fantastic achievement from the intermediate girls. And as they said, speaking of the senior team, it's just coming up to 35 minutes played now. And I can tell you that the physicality has not gone back a single degree in this second half. But it is Cork 11 points to Galway 10 points. So Cork just slightly in the lead. Hopefully they'll be able to build on that in the second half. But at halftime, just before we came on air, I had this chance to speak to Ger McCarthy, who is Acro Park, and get his thoughts on the first half performance. Ger McCarthy joins me now from Croke Park. Ger, that was an extremely tight first half. Just describe the atmosphere for us.
A fantastic atmosphere, Sarah. First of all, huge crowd, and we haven't got the official attendance yet, but there was a massive crowd in, which is helping this game. As expected, Galway under Cathal Murray have brought a really tough and physical challenge to meet Cork. There's been nothing in it, as you said, a point in it at the break, but after 15 minutes, Kerry Dolan popped over a free to give Galway their first lead of the match. But it was significant, because in most matches this year, Cork have pulled away from their opposition, including Galway, and they run into the All-Ireland final. But that's certainly not happening today. They've got their matchups right. They're sticking with Cork. They're making them, they're pressurising them all over the field, and they're making them work for every score. There's nothing in it, but it's been impressive the way Galway have stood up to Cork's challenge thus far, and they just about deserve that interval lead.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a noticeably physical game from both sides. There was two, I suppose, one each. They're even. There was two kind of very big clashes there towards the end of that first half, and Galway don't seem to be fazed at all by the underdog title that they were given coming into the game. Do you think they'll be able to keep that tempo and the physicality going for the full duration?
That's the key question, Sarah, but it looks at the right now at half time, it certainly looks like they are more than capable of doing that. The question is, can Cork come up with something different? Their full forward line, Orla Cahalan, Amy O'Connor, Katrina Mackey, are moving very well, but they're not getting as free as they normally do. And as I said, they're being forced wide. Saoirse McCarthy's burst through, Fiona Keating's burst through on a couple of occasions, but Galway thus far under Cathal Murray seem to have the game plan absolutely spot on. They're taking their scores when they arrive, and I suppose it's one-on-one marking. There's no sweeper, which is interesting from Galway's point of view. They've decided to front up to Cork, and it's working. They look like they can carry, I suppose, to answer your question directly, they look like they can take it right to the end of the game. But I think Cork have a few bolters from the bench that we'll see before the end of the game. They got 1-4 off the bench in the semi-final, and I think they've got some game changers that may well come on and stretch the game towards the end. But right now, it's certainly anyone's game, and it's certainly in the melting pot.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, I suppose. What do you think Cork can produce in that second half? Do you think the impact is mostly going to come from those substitutions?
It will have to. I think the influence of the half-back line, Laura Tracy, Laura Hayes, apart from Hannah Looney, I think Hannah's had a fantastic game. They're not their usual dominant self, and you've seen Saoirse McCarthy dropping back and going wide to instigate a couple of attacks. Hannah's been coming from deep. I think it could well, a goal might well open this game up, and I think Cork will certainly look for a goal, because that would bring Galway further out the field. Who knows? But I certainly think right now the tactic that Cork have employed of getting the ball into their forward line, the diagonal accurate ball that's worked so well for them throughout the season, it's still working, but it's just not working as well as it normally does, because Galway have got their matchups absolutely spot on. Who comes off the bench and when, that would be critical for both teams. Cathal Murray has a few players on his side, but Ger Manley knows in the previous games that he's got players that can come on and that can influence this game. It's just a question of when he decides to do that.
Absolutely. A very intriguing second half to come. Let's hope that Cork end up on the side of the victors in the end. Ger, thanks very much for joining us.
No problem.
And there was never a doubt that Ger McCarthy knows his stuff, but just as he predicted, Cork have scored a goal. An absolutely fantastic effort from Katrina Mackey and followed up by a point from Saoirse McCarthy. So it is now Cork 112 to Galway 10 points. And we've actually got a player coming off injured. I can't see the back of her jersey now at the moment for the name. But as I mentioned on that call with Ger and earlier on in the show, it's an extremely physical game. So the girls really putting in an absolutely Trojan effort, but they are ahead now and hopefully they can retain that lead. In the meantime, I mentioned earlier that the first final of the day today in Croke Park saw Tipperary beat Laois to become All-Ireland Premier Junior Champions. Reminder of the final score in that game, it was Tipperary 12 points to Laois 1 goal and 8 points. And Tipperary manager Dennis Kelly and captain Siobhan Maher spoke to the media following their side's win.
Laois came from our point of view and gave you a really good game, but you had to work really hard to get that one over the line.
100%, like from the word go, Laois came at us and we found ourselves in a bit of a hole at half time, you know. But we kept the heads, I suppose. We know exactly what we have in our team and we know the strength and especially the heart as well. And look, that got us over the line in the finish. We stood up, we showed our character like we do in every single game. It showed against the Armagh game in the semi-final and the same thing again today. Beat Laois by the point, but that's all it takes to win a game, and I'm absolutely delighted for myself and for this man here beside me, Bill Mullaney, who's all year has given us so much, and I'm so happy he has this now as well.
Did you decide to play against the wind, or was that a decision Laois played? Or
no, I actually lost the toss, so right. she went. She
it was
did.
It was strong wind from where we were looking, obviously, and it was a big factor.
It was a strong wind, but I don't think we ever. You know, we don't play to the wind or anything like that. We know our strengths and we only work the ball up and we do what we can do. We know our strengths, we play to our strengths, and we never take the wind as a factor. You know, we go out and play our best and that's all we can do. And I think in the second half, it just showed how much we really, really wanted it. At half time, we knew ourselves that we were not going to leave here without winning it. So, look, I'm absolutely buzzing. Absolutely buzzing. I'm so happy.
What did you say at half time? You came out, you got 8 points to 3 in the second half. You won the second half.
Look, sure, I mean, it's exactly as Sinead said there. Like, Laois came out, and we, it was the last thing we said going out there. Laois were going to come out and really, like, come at us hard, as you would expect in an All-Ireland final. And they really stuck it to us in the first half. We couldn't, perform or get our game going or get our flow going. And that's a credit to Laois. You know, they outworked us, outhooked us, outblocked us. But again, at half time, we just said we needed to up the work rate, commit to our own principles of play, and come out and produce. We could die on our feet, or we could go home at half time, one or the other. And I'm delighted for them that they came out, they worked our hook and our block and our work and our everything, like, you know, came. But that's within these players, the Tip girls. Like, they just came out and worked hard, as you would expect in an All-Ireland final. You know, we and I thought in the end probably deserved that we were on top. We were going forward, we probably looked like, you know, we could have got another one or two. It was in that half, you know what I mean. But you're right, in the first half, you know, we could have been a lot worse off at half time too, but luckily we got a foothold in the game in the last 5 or 6 minutes, you know, the first half, you know.
What do you attribute the turnaround? Because the turnaround was very much on the field, in the sense it's a very big difference between 1-5 to a point and 1-5 to 4 points at half time, particularly in the world. Where did that turnaround come from?
I think it came from the girls themselves. They just knuckled down and started to work, as I say, like, you know. A couple of adjustments on the field, the subs that came on had a huge impact as well, and a couple of adjustments around in from midfield into the forward line as well. But I think, you know, it comes down to this. Really, the girls started believing in themselves and committing to the game and committing to the process and committing to the hooks and blocks or the work rate, as you would say all the time, you know. And I think that's what turned the tide. And once we got a foothold in the game and really got going, I think, like, you know, we deserved to be at Laois level for a lot of the game. You would probably argue that it might have deserved to be a draw. We'd say, like, you know, that we worked hard enough to win it and did enough to get away in the end, you know.
What's going through your mind to Laois get that point from over the side? I mean, I'd say a manager would have said, don't ever go for that shot. Splits the posts, only takes 3 times, or panicking, or
no, I suppose. The only thing in my head was win the next puck out, so any ball that came down we had to swarm. If the breaking ball, we had to try to get as many people in behind it, and that's all we can do, is just try to win the next ball. Bill has it driven into our heads, if you don't win the ball, win the next one, win the next one, win the next one, and that's what was going through our heads. So it didn't matter where the ball was, we had to win it, and that was simple as that.
Yeah, look, I mean, like, the old cliches, like in GAA, that the panel is king. You need the panel, and you need to be able to trust the players that come on. We have 33, say, with a few injuries. But, I mean, there's girls there that were unfortunate at the start. There were girls there, the two Fahis in particular, who I commend immensely, came on and had a huge influence on the game. They were unfortunate that not to start today. You know, so, I mean, that just shows that panel is king, and subs have a huge influence on the game, in the modern game of camogie and hurling and football, you know. So, really, like, that just proves the point that that the panel is so important. And I mean, you know, the panel at training, to matches, to trying to get results and victories in an All Ireland final is, I think, is what got it over the line in the end, you know.
Yeah, it does seem like something that came back this year at the risk of last year.
Yeah, this one was really, really important to me, especially as well being captain. I felt like, you know, I wanted to do it for the girls and especially my family. I suppose over the last few years, my mum passed away, and it was something that she really, really wanted me to do, was climb the steps of the Hogan Stand. So when I was named captain, I was under no illusions that I wanted to go up and climb those steps, and no better way to do it than win by a point. And I'm just so happy I have that done now.
I'm delighted to be joined on the Big Red Bench by Fiona Hayes, head coach of the senior Munster women's rugby team, who started off their season in winning form against Ulster yesterday in the sunshine at Virgin Media Park. Fiona, thanks for chatting to us here on the Big Red Bench today. How pleased were you with the start off to the Interpros campaign with that win yesterday?
Yeah, look, Ulster were a tough side. Look, I think we'll probably be disappointed with how the game finished. We were 22-5 up at half time and probably didn't play the best rugby in the second half. So we're very happy with how the first half went, but I suppose our disappointment would lie in that second half. But in saying that, Ulster were so physical. They came out firing in that second half, and you know, this is what it's about. It's about those challenges, and I think the games in the Interpros are getting tighter and tighter each year, which makes the competition brilliant. But we'll be looking forward to next week's match against Leinster to right a few wrongs, I think.
For sure. I suppose start of the season is always a tricky one. There's lots to work on. But, you know, as you mentioned, there was a great start in the first half. There was a hat-trick for Alana McInerney, and in the end it was a bonus point win as well. What was the highlight from a coaching point of view about the attack in particular, as you mentioned, especially in that first half?
Yeah, look, I suppose we like to play with them. We like to get a good set piece platform to be able to play that rugby out wide. And our shape, I thought in that first half, how we approached the game was quite physical at ruck time, and we had the ability to control that area. But also with the line out and scrum, I felt it was very positive in the first half, and that platform meant that we could put our wingers away, like Alana, who unfortunately got injured in that first half. But up until she was on the pitch, she was absolutely having a crack in game, and I thought our centre Steph Noonan and Enya Breen were really good as well. So look, that's what we wanted to do was to give them a platform and be able to finish off those tries. And I felt in the first half we definitely did that, but in the second half they disrupted our rope, things got a little bit out of shape, and we have to learn how to cope with that, I suppose. And that's what it's all about, is taking those learnings now, because it's 4 games in 4 weeks, so it's such a short space of time, and the first one is over. Look, and a win is a win, and we're delighted to start it off, especially at home with a win.
For sure. I suppose since you mentioned it there, how did you feel about the Munster defensive effort in that second half? Because you said Ulster are a really hard team to put away, and what would you be kind of looking to correct, I suppose, as you mentioned, in the games going forward?
Yeah, look, in that second half, you know, you can say maybe it was got to do with the heat or the conditions or even how Ulster went after us, but I thought our line speed in particular was quite passive in that second half. We were a bit slow getting up off the line, and that gave Ulster that space, especially their forward. Are really good in that second half to come running at us, and we were soaking a lot of tackles. So I suppose what we'll be looking at is improving that line speed, especially against Leinster, because they'll absolutely go after us in that area if we're passive. So we've got to lift it in that, I suppose, aspect of defence. And then from an attack point of view, we missed a couple of kicks to touch, and our discipline probably wasn't great at times when we had the ball. So look, we'll have to tighten up those areas. But as I said, that first game, it's all about ironing out those and seeing what we need to work on, and we've a couple of sessions now before we hit Leinster in Cork again next week.
For sure. And it's worth mentioning as well that there was a big raft of players made their senior debut yesterday, kind of across the team. How important is it for you and your coaching staff to make sure that there's that depth in the squad, and that there's a pipeline of players as well making it onto the senior team?
Yeah, that's huge for us. And look, that's what it's about. It's kind of the changing of the guard now in Munster. There's a couple of players we had retire, especially in the pack. And we've these young players coming through, and it's about getting that experience playing at that inter-pro level. And it was definitely that game. You know, you hope that they settle out a few nerves in that first game and they relax more into it. But I was pretty impressed with how they went about their business, especially a couple of girls came on, and I suppose the two props in particular came on, and it was their first cap, and it was no easy feat going against that Ulster front row. So look, I think especially when it comes to scrum time, you can do all the training, all the talking you want, but when you get into that battle, especially inter-pro, you see it's lifted from that club level, so you've got to be able to handle the pressure, and I was pretty impressed with that.
Excellent. Yeah, that's great to hear. Really encouraging. And I suppose the other side of it then is the girls that would have had the Six Nations experience with Ireland, obviously a really positive campaign for them earlier in the year. What effect has that had, I suppose, with those players being able to step up more into leadership roles?
Yeah, look, and that's the thing. You have a lot of those players that were brought up into camp. You know, Kate Flannery was kind of in and around that Irish setup, so for her to have the ability now, she's almost like a senior player, and she's so young. So it's great to have those guys when they get up to that Irish environment, that high performance. We're trying to instill it in Munster as well, but when they get to that environment, I suppose they see, you know, they start taking their own leadership into their hands, and these players are really shining. And look, with that game against I suppose next week against Leinster as well, it'll be absolutely great to have Dorothy Wall back. She's someone that we should have back next week, and she's someone who's been in that environment with Ireland and brings those leadership qualities. She's brilliant to have around the squad.
For sure, there's certainly lots to look forward to for the rest of the Interpro campaign, and I think we'll do what we can to drum up as many supporters as possible for that next home game against Leinster as well. As you said, Virgin Media Park on Saturday, Cork and Galway. Galway did have a surge back at Cork after we'd gone into the lead. It did come back to 113 to 16 points. It was all level, but the Cork subs are doing exactly what we had hoped they would do, and we are now ahead again. It is 115 to 16 points. So hopefully they can continue that. We're just coming up to 55 minutes played now. There have been a few injuries, so I reckon there will be a couple of maybe 2 to 3 minutes at a time at the end. So not long to go. In the meantime, though, it's hard to believe we've already reached the closing day of the Paris Olympics, isn't it? We've had 2 weeks absolutely jam-packed with incredible sporting action. And I don't know about you, but I'm definitely going to miss it, because particularly because Ireland have had such an amazing run at these Olympics. Especially, I mean, you look at, we finished 19th place on the medal table out of 84 countries, which puts us in the top 25% of countries globally. As a reminder, we won medals across gymnastics, boxing, rowing and swimming. 4 golds, 3 bronze for a total of 7 Olympic medals, which is an Irish record. And to put that into perspective, Ireland finished in 49th place on the medal table at Tokyo. So in the space of just 3 years, we've made a 30 place jump up that table, and it really is a testament to each and every one of the athletes, of course their coaches, the governing and sporting bodies who support the teams, and as has been mentioned many times over the last 2 weeks, the epic level of support that every Irish athlete received from fans who travelled to Paris. And obviously, of course, those of us watching and cheering them on from home. I mentioned at the top of the show that I was going to chat through my favourite Team Ireland sporting moments from these Paris Olympics. And there's no particular order to these, but I am going to start off with Rhys McLennigan winning the gold medal in the men's individual pommel horse final. He was up against such major competition, and there was added emotion there too after what had happened to him in Tokyo, and with British gymnast Max Whitlock competing in his last ever Olympics. Not to mention Clark Kent was competing in the final for the USA. So look, Rhys had a lot to deal with, but my word, what a performance. I was driving home when the build-up was happening, and when I realised that I wasn't going to get home on time, I pulled the car in to watch Rhys's routine on my phone. It was just incredible. I was so thrilled for him. Let's have a listen to him reflecting on his Olympic win with Gerard Gilroy.
What was the best bit in the aftermath? What has kind of stuck out for the last 14, 16 hours since you've become Olympic champion?
Yeah, there's little segments that I'm trying to like lock into my brain and remember them for the rest of my life. I'll list three. Landing my dismount, which is just a win for performing that routine and getting through it. Then the score coming up, which was a personal best score. I just erupted with a scream out of nowhere. And then seeing that medal just like getting brought out for me. Those are three very key moments that I will hopefully remember for the rest of my life, and I think I will.
Talk to us a little bit about the routine. You talked in the press conference afterwards about during the week there was just a bit of an issue with your legs separating. So what's in your head in the moment of the routine as you're coming up to it and as you're doing it?
It's just working on those cues, those points that I've practiced in training so many times, and it's a continuous event, so there's no stopping, there's no gathering your thoughts. It's just that you just need to hit those cues at the right time. And
are they verbal cues in your head? Are you talking to yourself?
Yeah, they're little verbal cues, but they have a lot of meaning behind them. Although it may sound simple, like maybe push tall, fast, like those things are simple in words, but you know, the motion they create is significant.
And so have you learned that off? Obviously you have learned it off, but is there any other voice in your head at any point in the middle of the routine that is an intrusive thought that is like not fast or stand tall?
Of course, because your brain is just always working, especially in a high intense scenario like that. Your brain's always working, so it's about just like keeping cool but also keeping focused. And it's just something that I do and practice in training every day, so doing it once again in a competition is familiar.
I think Simone Biles recommended that you do the all-around. Is this true?
Well, who'd you hear that from?
Well, a little birdie told me.
One of the competitions, she thought I was doing all-around, and I was only doing pommel, so no, I'm doing all-around for me. It's just to enjoy the sport more, to challenge myself, and yeah, see how I do.
And Rhys shared something particularly exciting in that interview, which is that he is going to be starting to take part in all-around competition going forward, not focusing solely on the pommel horse. And that's brilliant news for Irish gymnastics in the near future. And of course, for Rhys himself too, as he said, the main motivator behind that decision is to enjoy the sport of gymnastics more and to challenge himself, which you can't really ask for a much better reason than that. So I'm really excited to see what happens with his all-around efforts. Next up is Daniel Whiffen winning his gold medal in the men's 800 metre freestyle, which he of course followed up by winning a bronze medal in the 1500 metre version of that event. He's just so cool, calm and collected, isn't he? I mean, he was delighted about winning the gold and he was emotional on the podium, but he was also super confident about adding to that medal tally, which you love to see, especially from such a young athlete, because he clearly believes that he has the talent and the work ethic, which he also discussed, to continue with this level of swimming for a long time yet. And I think I speak for us all when we say that we would be only delighted to see him continue on the trajectory that he set for himself in Paris this Olympics. He's a really entertaining character as well, which is always great to see. Now, we have to talk about Kelly Harrington winning gold in the women's 60kg boxing. She has now won two Olympic golds back-to-back in Tokyo and in Paris. Beyond the supreme performances that she displayed in the ring, you have to commend her mentality and attitude all through the Olympics as well. I know that she came off social media in the run-up to the Games and was laser-focused on retaining that gold medal title. Even during her interviews after each fight, she was so calm, didn't let the media influence cause her to get ahead of herself, despite them trying their very best. And especially when you add in the fact that despite Ireland bringing our largest ever team of boxers to an Olympic Games, Kelly Harrington was the last boxer standing, 1 out of 10, and that pressure could easily have had a negative effect on an athlete that wasn't as strong as she is. It was a true masterclass, and I think it made the win and the scenes of celebration afterwards all the sweeter, because what everyone was celebrating was an utter champion. And maybe she just needs to work on the dance moves. I think that's the only note that we can possibly give her. Everything else was absolutely 10 out of 10. But if anyone has ever earned themselves a retirement, it's Kelly. And she was quick to confirm that after winning her gold medal bout. Here's a quick snippet of her talking about what's going to be next for her.
I'm done now. The next chapter is going to be my life chapter, and who knows what that's going to be, but I can't wait. I just can't wait to just live my life.
As I said, absolutely very well earned. My next highlight is one that I think many, many people will share, which is the Olympic debut of Tala's own Rashida Adeleke. As heartbreaking as it was to see her miss out on medals in both the individual 400 metre final and the 4x400 metre relay final, she gave such an incredibly positive account of herself in both of those events. And at the age of 21, it's just so, so exciting to think about what the future holds for her as an athlete. She was the first ever Irish athlete to qualify for a sprint final at an Olympics. And to come back from the disappointment of being so close to getting a medal in that individual event and race with the relay team the next day just goes to show the kind of resilience and talent that this girl has. And her old home club of Tala is understandably hugely proud of her. And club chair Greg Wallace has been speaking to Jonathan Higgins about how fantastic Rashida is.
We're all proud of Rashida here tonight. She did very, very well. She did her best. It's great that Tala has an Olympic in our club. And what can you say? She's always the next time.
Jerry, the atmosphere here is just incredible.
Brilliant. Very good, yes. It's always the same in Tala. You always get a good atmosphere from people up here in Tala, especially in the running club when there's anything else on there.
Yeah. And she's just such an inspiration. See so many young kids around here. They have a pure, tangible hero now.
Yeah, we're on the data with phone calls now for children who want to join the club. See, can they join? No problem, we'll take them all in. We'll try and make another athlete out of a few of the kids that come along, and we might have another Olympian, you know.
That's the thing, isn't it? More of these nights and the special occasions to come.
Yeah. Great, very good, yeah. Yeah, she did very well, I think, for the whole of the race. Just obviously she was up against it. Everyone, she was there to win or lose. It was her own race, so we'll see what she's to say at the end of the race, but she's happy. We're happy for her. Pardon? Very, very proud of her. Very proud of her, yeah. You hear the club. Every shade up. Yeah!
Brilliant scenes, absolutely brilliant scenes. That, of course, was after the 400 metre individual final event. And Jonathan Higgins also spoke to Sarah Doyle, who raced Adeleke at the Irish National Championships, and gave her perspective on Rashida's performance in that race as well.
Sarah, it's madness here in Tala. There's no other way of describing it.
Yeah, pure craziness. I mean, everyone is obviously naturally disappointed for her, but also so proud of her achievement and what she's done. Like, to get to an Olympics, to get to an Olympic final, and then to come fourth at 21 years of age is an incredible achievement. So she should keep her head high and be very proud of herself.
Sometimes you just got to strip it back and just go, wow, what an achievement.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, as an athlete, sometimes fourth is nearly the worst position to come, because you feel you're just so close but yet so far. But because of the calibre of an athlete she is, and because of the coaching staff she has behind her, she will reflect on that and she'll learn far more from that she can build on and move forward. So it's going to be the making of her, I think, certainly as an athlete going forward.
I believe you've shared a racetrack with her. How special is she?
Oh, she's brilliant. Like, she's so, you know, I was on the same relay team as her in 2019, national relay team, and I was very much an Adder Lemon, so it was great to have someone so young and so talented. She was pure chill, just goes out, rocks up, does the business, and we're there warming up for ages, like stressing it by comparison. So it's great to have that memory and to have the pictures as well.
And finally, so many kids around the place as well. The seed's sown for the future here.
Oh, listen, absolutely. And we've loads of younger talent in Tala AC at the moment that are coming up. There's been more and more younger kids trying to join the club as well. We actually ended up, the capacity was reduced because of the amount of people that were trying to join. So it's brilliant to see them. It just inspires other generations. So fair play to her.
Thank you very much.
I don't know about the rest of you, but I shed a few tears during the post-race interview with the four girls last night after their 4x400 metre relay. final, they were just agonisingly close to a medal and ran out of their skins, but they were so devastated not to win bronze. And Cork's own Phil Healy is such a fantastic story from that team, so we have to give her a mention. 12 months ago, she took herself out of the team because she felt that she didn't have anything to offer the girls. And she came out and ran a sensational leg last night to help them smash the national record. She's just a true warrior of an athlete, and she deserves massive applause, as do all four of the girls. My fifth and final highlight involves another person from Cork. It's none other than Timmy McCarthy, who has been lighting up the basketball commentary at the Paris Olympics. Now, Timmy has been in the game for a long, long time, but this Olympics in particular, he's captured not just the Irish nation, but people all over the world. It's so wonderful to see him getting such admiration. It's 100% deserved. He's even been profiled by the New York Times, would you believe? So let's get a quick taste of his commentary from the men's final between the USA and France last night.
Steph is feeding it. Steph is feeding it. Steph is feeding it. Steph is feeding it. Oh my God. What an exhibition. I've seen the greatest play in my lifetime. That's the best I've ever seen by a shooter. Ever by a shooter. There's no doubt. Booker.
Legendary commentary for a legendary player. Timmy McCarthy and Stephen Curry is a winning combination as far as I'm concerned. Speaking of winning combinations, the ladies have only gone and won the senior Camogie All-Ireland final. Cork have beaten Galway. The final score was 116 to Galway's 16 points. That goal proving absolutely crucial. It was the decider, but also a huge defensive effort from Cork in that second half in particular to just shut down the effort and that press that was coming in from Galway. And it has to be said, as Ger McCarthy commented during halftime, the impact of the players coming off the bench was absolutely huge. Now, we won't get a chance to play reaction from the players on the show this evening, so we're coming up to 7 o'clock, but I'm absolutely delighted for them, and I'm sure they will have lots of reaction to come on next weekend's shows and during the week as well with Rory. But I'm going to finish up this evening with a chat between Rory and Davy Fitzgerald. Davy was in Cork this week to help launch Cask Tracks East Cork Fittest Superstars event, which takes place on September 7th, and he'll also be there on the day for the event. Let's have a listen to his interview with Rory now.
Right, we are here in beautiful Ahada GAA with David Fitzgerald ahead of the launch of Cork East Fittest Superstars. David, have you ever been here before? It's a gorgeous facility.
I haven't been here. It's unreal. You know, when you walk into a place, you get a good feel, and the amount of cars, the amount of young kids that are out playing here is incredible. But I just love the scenery of it, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a fantastic venue right down here in Ahada. It's going to be buzzing here on September 7th for Cork East for the Superstars. Tell us what's on the agenda for the day.
Yeah, so we have our fundraiser, like, and I've done this event for the last number of years in different clubs for different fundraisers. But it's a big commitment, number one. Like, it takes a lot of organising. From our side, there's a big setup in it. We'll have 13 or 14 different obstacles in 5 or 6 lanes. It normally takes between 8 and 12 minutes to do the course. From 10-foot walls to 6-foot walls to balance beams to a ramp at the end. Different things in it, right? Is it doable? 100%. Like, to me, life is about living and getting out there doing stuff and not worrying what people will think. Oh, I can't do that, what will they think, or I'll be too slow. Live life. There's enough of people that are suffering, that can't get up out of bed, or they can't do X, Y and Z. This is an opportunity. But the big why is, why are we doing it? What's it for? And it's for to get facilities that'll be able to use year-round for all parts of the community, right? I have a big thing about our youth. Like, especially in the winter time, it's easy to put them on a phone or put them on a tablet or let them do stuff. I want them, if we can get them out running, if we can get them doing stuff, out playing sport all year round, it's better. Mm. It's better being your head stuck in that phone all the time or whatever, and it's a big thing with me. So that's the why. I think it's a big why, it's a good why. Yeah. Also, the adult community obviously get a good bit of use out of what they're going to produce, please God. But it takes money, it takes funds. this is a big event. They need teams. Like, it's not a big ask to raise the few pounds I've asked for and get a sponsor. I promise everyone they'll get through the course. I have a good team. We'll get you through the course. And I love, my courses are there to be, if you're really into it, how do we get around as fast as we can? Because when you go over a 10-foot wall, who you put first, second, third or fourth actually requires a bit of thinking. Yeah, yeah. So it does. And I love doing stuff where you have to use your brain as well as everything else. And this event will be incredible. I, honest to God, I really do. But you'll have so many people will find a reason why not to do it.
Yeah.
I'm giving you the reasons why to do it. And we will help you. And it doesn't matter what Tom or Mary or Joe think out there. Do it and live your life.
Yeah, it'd be absolutely fantastic. So what are the kind of obstacles that are on the course?
Yeah, as I said there, you'll have a 10-foot wall, you'll have a 6-foot wall, you'll have balance beams, you'll have a tyre shove, a massive tyre shove through cones, you'll have the ramp at the end that you see on Fittest Family. There's 13 different things there, so there is. There's tunnels, cargo nets you'll have to go through. But it's all doable, I promise you. I have seen people who weren't jogging, who trained for this for 2 or 3 months and got ready for it, even in a few weeks, they did it.
Yeah.
And they were so proud of themselves. Do it. Just do it. We'll get you through it. I promise you that. You can do it to come first in the event, or you can do it to participate and get this done. And to me, a lot of people do that as well, is they just want to say, I did that, I went up that ramp. People think they can't get up that ramp. I promise you, we'll get everyone up that ramp.
Because people are going to be thinking, I've seen this on TV, there's not a hope I can do this.
No, you can do it. I'm not saying that lightly. If you ask anyone in Kildare, I think we got everyone up that ramp. And there is a way that you can do it, and trust me, I will get you there one way or another. I'll get you there. But you know what, the sense of achievement when you do it, it'll just be incredible.
David Fitch is shouting at you to get up a ramp. You're going to get up a ramp.
I'm going to get up the ramp. Well, if they need the encouragement or they need the soft talk, which happens as well, I'll do whichever. My objective is to get you around that course, and I'll be with every team going around here. I won't be just one team here and there. I'll be there for the day, and I'm looking forward to it. But what motivates me, we get paid for our setup and that, but it's more now. I could do other stuff. I enjoy this. I actually love this. I love seeing people do this course and come back and say afterwards, do you know what, I'd love to do that again, or that was unreal, you know?
Yeah, and the lads are raising money for a track in East Cork, which is very, very badly needed. We see at the Olympics, all the Irish stars have to start somewhere, and they get this track in years' time, people can say, the Olympians can say, this is where I got my start, this track in East Cork.
But this is what I'm saying to you. We get this track done. This is all year round. Please God, we'll be able to use it. To have our kids active, be it running, be it whatever, and talking to the organisers they were saying to me, this will be available to the community. This just isn't to the athletics. This is available. So everybody will be able to avail of this, and this is the big thing. And I just want to see kids, and I genuinely mean this, I want to see kids off phones, off iPads, and more of this, more events or more places they can go to. That's my big thing.
And you can see hundreds of kids here training here today. It's fantastic.
Come in here, there was kids all over the place. But we need that all the time. Isn't it better that they're out here doing that, hitting ball or running or kicking football? I don't care what it is, once they're active, and that's mentally good for you as well, and we have to do that. We have responsibility as adults. It's our time now to make sure that we can provide these facilities as good as we can for our young kids.
Well, I have you aside, you were formerly involved with the Cork Camogie team back in All-Ireland final action this weekend. You must be absolutely delighted for the girls.
No, I genuinely, they are a fantastic bunch of girls, so they are. And they're very determined. Their work rate, the way they apply themselves. I couldn't speak highly enough about them. Now, some of them be giving out about me, and we may be playing a plus one and are doing this and doing that. And I enjoyed it immensely. The application of them is incredible. And even when you look at them, like, they give so much. And when I looked at the fellas, and I think it's like, I think more should be given to the girls, and I genuinely mean that. But they're an incredible, that Cork bunch are an incredible bunch, and in fairness to them, you'd often have bunches that would be given out about you. Or I never came across that. I always found them very genuine and very nice, and I think that's very important with a bunch of players, that they're not going at you behind your back, or they're not like that. The Cork Mullion players are a great bunch, and I genuinely wish them the best to you. Like, I'll always cherish the number of months I had with them and how well they worked. Like, we came within a puck of winning All-Ireland, you know, but you often have to lose one or two of them to get the few you need to get, you know, and fair play to them.
Well, they all spoke very highly of you anyway when we spoke to them, so that has to count for something.
Ah, no, listen, you're not going to keep all of them happy no matter what the story is, and especially sometimes with the system I play, they won't always agree with you no matter what the story is, and I actually accept that way more now than I used to. But all I can say is, when I was working with Cork Mogi, I actually laughed and I had fun, worked very hard on them. We got within one puck of winning All-Ireland, won a Munster Championship with them. I enjoyed it, and that's all I can say about that. I really did. Exceptional girls and that, and you'd often, when you leave a place, you'd hear people speaking bad of you. Like, and in fairness, I haven't come across that. And normally when you've 36 to 40 of a panel, you're not going to keep them all happy either, you know. But I genuinely hope to do it. They're a great bunch.
As a Clare man, I mean, like, to see them win the All-Ireland last week, incredible scenes.
Clare, yeah, listen, we got there, skin of our teeth in the end. We've only won 5 in our history, and they mean a lot. Like, I was manager of Waterford, and it was tough when I played Clare. Genuinely was very tough. It was the first time I played in 3 All-Irelands, managed in 3 All-Irelands, that's 6 All-Irelands. This is the first time I got a chance to go up, put on my Clare gear and just be a part of it. And
were you able to enjoy it, or were you too nervous?
Ah, no, listen, you'll be uptight, and like, at a match I wouldn't say much, believe it or not. You'd think I'd be roaring shouting, I'd be the opposite. I'd be there and I'd be just trying to figure it out and look at it, and I was very proud. But I knew playing Cork, any time you play Cork, it's going to be all out hurling. It's going to be all out hurling, and I knew it was going to be a very high scoring game. I think Cork have a serious team. I think they'll learn one or two bits. I think they have to. It's nearly 20 years since they've won All-Ireland.
Would you have thought when you beat them down below that they would get to the All-Ireland final?
No, well, I was actually thinking that we were definitely going to qualify, you know. And listen, Cork got there. We probably let our own downfall, and one or two breaks went against us. But hats off to them, they stuck in there. They played some good stuff, so they did. But when you don't get there, you've got to learn, and you've got to think, okay, what can we do that small bit different that's going to get us over the line? And that'll be a question for Pat. Like, he's got him there, and he's got close, but he's got to now just think, okay, this hurt, we've got to sort this out, and what can we do a small bit different to get us over that line? Because Cork do need to win All-Ireland. I genuinely believe that. I think they have the talent. Tradition is great. It's great to have it, but you have to evolve all the time. You have to evolve all the time. And it doesn't matter how you get there, you've got to get there, and I think they will. And knowing Pat, he'll be thinking of that. He's very much a person who thinks outside the box, and I'm sure whatever it takes, he'll do it.
Fantastic stuff from the girls here. I'm just watching them giving their speeches, and the crowd is absolutely delighted. I can't wait for the scenes at the homecoming. Make sure you get out there if you can at all for the girls. They've done an incredible job today, both the intermediate and the senior Camogie girls winning their All-Ireland finals. But that is everything I've got time for this evening, folks. Thanks as always for tuning into the Sunday edition of the Big Red Bench with Bord Gáis Energy, proud sponsors of the GAA All-Ireland Senior Championship. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday evening, and don't go anywhere, because Green on Red